the Chris and Sam podcast. Pull up a bar stool and join us for a random conversation, guaranteed to make you think or your money back.
Hello and welcome to episode 472 of the Chris and Sam podcast.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Sam. Welcome along to your weekly fix of randomness, technology and life, brought to you by us two amazing folk.
And speaking of amazing folk, you had a big outing this week. How was the concert?
Yes, I went to Pink, because obviously everybody knows I'm a huge Pink fan. No, Sarah is, so I went with her. But it was good. So we turned up, we went to the accommodation, we got an Uber that I'd already booked like a week ahead of time. The dude had no idea what was going on. Like, they are so oblivious to anything, eh? Like, the dude's just like, oh, I'll just, what's happening? Where are we going? Oh, okay. Oh, cool. So he drops me off. So we're waiting for ages, and we're near a gate, which is like, some sort of VIPs could come in. I don't know, but there's these guys rolling out a red carpet, and it's in a big L shape. And it got windy, so they're taping it down. I've never seen so much gaffer tape used. There was like layer upon layer, and they're trying to tape this red carpet to just asphalt. And it's just mental. And the wind just picks it up. And they just look at each other, they make a phone call, and they're just like, nah. They just start rolling it back up. So somebody didn't get the full experience, whatever that was. The concert itself, really, really good. Really good. You probably haven't seen any of the aerial stuff she does?
No, I've heard about it. I may have seen a bit of a clip years and years and years ago. But I was going to say, apparently she puts on a real show.
Yeah, I'll send you this clip later. But basically, it starts, you're in the stadium. So it's 50,000 people at Mount Eden. And there's like four wires coming in with this thing suspended in the middle. And you're like, okay, that's got something to do with something. And then they sort of, some stage guys come out at some point and they're fluffing around with it. They bring it down and they put this big bag of, huge sandbag on it. And they're doing something and then they bring it down and fluff around. Then it just goes back up. So that's all good. There's an opening act. That's all good. There's a DJ, this dude that's traveling around with her. And he's just, all he does is mash together, real, like, you know, as a DJ would, just random songs and just keeps yelling into the microphone as he does. And then it just sort of stops. And it goes all black, and they're playing some songs, and it's like going through, they're playing MC Hammer, Can't Touch This. And the girls in front go, oh, it'd be amazing if she just comes out now. And Sarah goes, she's not going to come out like mid-song, will she? You know, she did. It lights up, and then at the top, it's got, I think it's Summer Carnival, in big words, which is actually a screen, but in the middle is a giant mouth. And at some point, she got up in there. So the mouth opens, and then Pink literally just bungee jumps, I guess, almost, just drops from this thing to get to the stage, like bounces a few times, and then they lower her down. It's crazy ass. Later on, she gets into the harness for this four-wire contraption and literally flies around the stadium while singing at the end. Like, it's the insurance on this is the thing I'm thinking about, Chris. The logistics. At the end. So the night before, she actually did an encore. This night, they were like, we've got to stick to our schedule. So she sung all the songs. Oh, an interesting thing. I thought this was just really cool. Some of her band, the pianist, definitely, because he's been with me for 23 years, this guy, just playing the piano. She brought out, she tells you who everybody is. She says their name. They do a little solo act at some point. She brings them all out into the middle. Even the drummer, they brought out some big drums for him to play right in the center of the crowd, like hard out. And her guitarist, I don't know what else he's done, but he could do everything. He was really clever. He was doing classical, full rock metal. He looked like a budget version of a Metallica player. he's pretty good. At the end, though, as soon as it stopped, lights came on. There was like 50 crew all over the stage. There was a guy like climbing the screen straight away to unbolt it. Cause I think she was performing in Australia in 2 days' time. So that was just getting dismantled as we were just standing there.
Yeah, and I was like, they'd have a hard
got to get out of there.
Yeah, the plane's got to be loaded by,
So anyway, you have 50,000 people leaving Mount Eden all at the same time, which is fun.
That's fun.
It's the biggest crowds I've ever been stuck in.
How did Sarah handle that? Because she doesn't like crowds much.
No, she did really well. She did really well. It was good. So we had a point on this map that they sort of had said, this is where you could get rideshare pickup from. And I was okay. But we had, so there was 55 buses that Auckland Transport had put on. So these buses are rolling in. There's people coming towards us. We're going one direction. We're trying to get through. There's a whole bunch of us trying to get through because as you go down the street with all these buses and stuff, at the far end is a train station. And a lot of people are catching trains.
Yeah.
We have to turn left, but that road's closed for kilometers. And I was like, oh, this is crap. So we walked for a while, 10 minutes probably. And I ended up in the suburbs in the middle of nowhere. I don't know where I am. I'm outside some guy's house at 11 o'clock at night. And the phone won't work. Uber won't work. Like, the internet is dead. And all I'm thinking is, if there was an actual emergency, I could see how people get trampled so easily.
Yeah.
Like, you know, cars. Anyway, finally got an Uber. The dude turned up like 8 minutes later, and he's like a little African dude from... he said he'd been in Abu Dhabi. What is it?
Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, he'd been there for a while and done all sorts of stuff. He's one of the top-rated Uber drivers, this guy, right?
Right.
And he said to me, and it was interesting, we had talk. He goes, thank you so much for booking it in an area I can actually drive to. He goes, everybody else has booked me, and they're stuck in that zone where I can't drive because the roads are closed, and they don't answer their phone. Or if they do, they go, I never booked an Uber. And that affects his ratings. And he goes, I was 2 days away from getting a $500 bonus because I'm one of, if not the best rated Uber driver. And he goes, but if I don't pick the ride, I lose points. And if I don't pick the person up, I lose the points. And he goes, when your one popped up and it goes, you're here. And I was like, no brainer. And we got back to the... motel place, yeah. And then I went to go get some McDonald's because I was hungry, and there was these people trying to open their room door. They couldn't get in, and I said, oh, how was the concert? And the woman goes, oh, it was great. She goes, did you go to Pink? And I said, yeah. She goes, how did you get back here so fast? We couldn't get out. They went to the train station thinking that there was a train that went from there to where we were staying. There might have been, I'm not sure. But nobody could answer her. She goes, I don't know. And then nothing was working. Anyway.
Oh, man. New Zealand just does. We do public transport so badly. Well, I shouldn't say that. I think Wellington does it well. But everybody else does it so badly.
They do it better than anybody else. But that's the...
Yeah.
Anyway, that was my excursion out into the wild in Auckland. Went to a few other places the day before and the day after. Ended up at the fancy shopping mall in Newmarket. They've got this claw machine.
Oh, yeah.
Not building. It's like in the corner. Somebody's put all these claw machines. And there's ones that are like this tall, little tiny baby ones.
Yeah.
And then there's these really big ones. And there's three real big ones, like almost taller than me. Oh. And all it does, it's got a huge soft toy that's half my height. And it goes forward. And it's got a razor blade on it. And you have to tell it when to cut the string.
Oh.
Right? And there's a woman there. And she turns to me and she goes, I've already dropped $250 in this machine.
God damn it.
I'm getting it. She goes, I've already got four of these. I'm getting another one. So they just kept putting, yeah. And she got it. It cut it and it dropped it. Yeah. It was mental.
But that sounds so easy. I suppose that's the whole point, right?
It's that whole pressure thing where it just touches it a little bit. And it was just like thread after thread after thread. And then the next day we went to a place called Panda Mart.
All right.
Which is in the Papakura Mall, I think it is. And it's this huge, it's the size of a supermarket, if not bigger. And it's just got everything you can imagine. Everything's super cheap. Like, it's crazy. Like, really, really good. But the weird thing is, this Papakura Mall is absolute dog shit. The food court, there's nothing apart from a Subway. Everything else is abandoned. It would be the ultimate place for a zombie apocalypse film. There's no shops. There's like four shops and it's absolute... Anyway, that was my trip. What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? So last week, I didn't mention it, but last week when we recorded, I was doing the Strategic Alliance Summit and it was starting at midnight every night going to 8 a.m. And then I was doing my epic work and that screwed me, I reckon, because I'm still not feeling 100% now. I'm like, holy crap. So that was pretty cool.
But it's worth it, isn't it?
It was. It was good. I got a few meetings out of it and stuff like that. And the next one, so that one's in Central European time. They do three a year. They do one in the US time, which was okay. That was like a 4 a.m. start. I can handle that, no problem. But the midnight start just screwed me up, which was Central European time. And next one is Australian time, so it'll be pretty much our time. So looking forward to that, and hopefully I'll get a few people along to that because we need to represent and make sure they keep doing it down this end of the planet.
Does that mean they're running it? Do they come to Australia or New Zealand to run it so they're in the same time zone?
Yeah, he's going to fly to Aussie for that one.
Okay. I was just thinking about that.
He was going to do that. He said, I'm not doing that from home.
No.
But that's cool. There was something else I was going to say, but so we went – no. We talked about home kills, didn't we, last time?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, flying in planes. I've got something here I wanted to talk about. So I've just got this like four or five stories here, and I just had to mention it because this whole flying in planes thing is surprising me. Do you feel comfortable flying in planes?
I don't mind flying in planes. It's just the seats are too small and I'm jammed in there. Physically, I'm too big.
I've never worried about it. In fact, I really enjoy flying. I love the takeoff. I love that sort of thing. And I don't worry too much about crashing and dying because, you know, if it happens, it's all you can do about it. So, it's all good.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but I did watch an updated Frontline thing on YouTube, and we'll have the link in the show notes, called Boeing's Troubled 737 MAX Plane, Boeing's Fatal Flaw. And because it's been updated with the whole door plugs flying out, but it was that whole MCAS thing and all these people dying. And I'm like, I would be very tempted to go, hang on, what sort of plane is it? Is it a Boeing or an Airbus? I would go with an Airbus. I'm not sure I'd go with a Boeing because I don't know if you heard this week, one of the Boeing whistleblowers died. Apparently committed suicide.
He suicided himself.
Yeah. Going to court this week. So I was like...
The day of, I think. Or the day before.
Day before, I think it was. Yeah.
He shot himself in the head with a gun. And then they had to quickly remove that from the BBC website.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they actually said what he did. I don't know.
Ah, okay. Cool.
But, you know, how convenient...
Well, conspiracy stories aside, I think it'd be a pretty horrible job and when lots of things are happening. So anyway, I thought I'd go through another couple of stories that on the flying front that I thought were amusing. So Indonesia, these two pilots, the co-pilot, the younger one's 28, I think, his wife's just had twins. So he hasn't been having a lot of sleep. So he sort of dozed. This is an Air Indonesia flight within Indonesia. And then he had a doze off, and then they landed, they took off again, and the older guy, 32-year-old guy, says, oh, I need to have a nap. And he had a nap, and then the co-pilot fell asleep while he was asleep. So the plane went off course for almost 30 minutes. And the tower's trying to get hold of them and nobody's answering. And you can just imagine the panic on the ground at that point. They woke up and they go, oh, better land at the right airport and turn this thing around. You know, it wasn't far off course, but yeah, nothing happened from that. So that was okay. Then there's this chopper in Trinidad. It just cracks me up because the guy's flying his chopper fairly low. Didn't say, I don't recall what the reason for it was, but he's flying the chopper fairly low. And then he got tangled in kite strings. Some kids were flying a kite. It had to land. Managed to cut it all off. Chopper was fine, no real damage, but it, you know, just the nylon kite strings was enough to stop the controls from working properly.
Yeah, so, it's crazy.
So then all the locals got selfies with the helicopter, and then he took off and flew off again. So that was a nice story. But what makes me up more than anything else is China. And apparently this happens a lot. A flight in China was delayed for more than 4 hours on Wednesday after passengers threw coins into the engine.
Oh, I saw that, but I didn't read the story. And I'm like, who is throwing coins in an engine?
It's for good luck, apparently. I don't know.
These are the same people that get magical powers from deer testicles or something. I don't know.
Yeah, pangolins and stuff.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so, yeah, apparently it happens a bit. People say it's good luck. Oh, I'll just throw it. And so the engineer saw this and went, what did you just do? Oh, I threw some coins into the engine for good luck. How many coins? I don't know, 3 to 5. So 4 hours, the guy's in there trying to find all these coins till he found them.
Actually, out of, like, you know, that they have trouble when they hit a bird, like bird strike, but a coin, like a solid metal coin, just rattling around inside an engine.
Yeah, yeah. As
that's not good.
No. Move on to the next. I thought that was like
they should just get kicked off. They get on a no fly list. You're never allowed to fly again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I reckon that's. Oh, it's just. I cannot think of anything stupider. Actually, I can think of one thing stupider. I'm going to go straight to this other story because I think it's stupider. There's a coastal community in Massachusetts where the water's coming up and it's the houses are starting to get encroached on by the water.
Yeah.
So what do you think they do to fix that?
Oh, is it? I think I've seen all your stories this week. Is this the one where they built a giant sandbar or something to help protect the houses and then it washed away? Because
$500,000 on sand, but a big sand dune to protect it. And it took only 3 days to wash it all away. And now the houses are starting to be undermined. It's just like, yeah, I think I could have told you that. And a quick Google search would have given you 100 ideas of how to fix it better.
No, they knew someone with a digger. That's how that worked.
All right, what'd you got?
Oh, just sticking with the airplane theme. Never really thought about it, but Sydney's getting a new airport, which is cool, but it doesn't have a traditional control tower, right? It just has a 45-meter pole mast, and it's going to have 20 cameras on it. That's all they need. And then it gets fed back to a data center 17 kilometers away. And that's all you need, right? They can just monitor it like that. And I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And they said, like, we've got fail safes. And if one camera fails or a couple of cameras fail, the other cameras can stitch together all their images to still get a complete picture. And AI can help track what planes are coming in and who's what and where they are and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. It's all absolutely safe. And I was like, that's pretty interesting. The London City Airport has the same setup, and the air traffic controllers are 115 kilometers away. I was like, oh, okay. They're nowhere near it. That's even crazier.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, honestly.
It's weird. Like, you have to, like, just trust them that they know what they're doing.
Yeah. I there are benefits to having a camera because presumably you could use some sort of infrared when it's foggy or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They said that it can work through whatever.
Yeah, so that makes sense. I was often intrigued, mainly just as being a kid, in Wellington because one of the towers is just on a hill, like nowhere near the airport. But it's got a really good view. Like, it was the ideal place to have it. But it just seemed weird to me that it was away from the airport. But, yeah,
when you're in Wellington,
yeah,
if you were young, if you were there now, but you're younger,
yeah,
do you think you'd be getting robbed in a New World car park over a cryptocurrency exchange? Would you be a part of that?
Oh, I wouldn't be part of that. No, but so it's a setup, right? It sounds so like a setup.
Hang on. Cryptocurrency happens on the internet. There's digital wallets. Why are you talking to someone on Discord and going to a car park with a wad of cash and some guy goes, I'll give you some cryptocurrency, and then just robs them? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's dumb. That's just dumb.
Like, is it? And if the dude turns up and does not have a laptop or something with him, is that a red flag? Anyway, they've arrested this guy. He's 32 years old.
Why was he buying the crypto? I bet you it was along the lines of, oh, you want those drugs? Well, you have to use crypto. I don't have crypto.
Maybe. It hasn't said that.
Well, you'll have to come here and buy the crypto, and then you can get the drugs, and then they just, all they're doing is rolling them. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that makes way more sense.
That's how I'd do it.
I knew you'd know. Hey, we both have the same story here.
I know. I'll let you go with it.
I'm just going to say we've got two different titles. You say why dating sucks, and I just wrote blowing up house, Python eating a child, the usual.
Yeah.
So these two men.
They met online.
I haven't even read the story. You tell me what's going on.
I think I might have closed that story.
Okay.
Here we have.
So
one guy has this, meets this chick, and
online dating, I guess.
Online dating, yep, on a dating app. But their relationship eventually went south, so they decided to block each other. So this other dude, a friend, so Glosser is the boyfriend, and then Kinsey is this dude's friend.
You just, hang on. So you bring up your mate and you're like, hey, this relationship's gone south. I've come up with a plan. We're going to shoot some arrows in her door. We're going to then mail her dog feces or dead rats, whatever's easiest. You figure that out. Then what we should do is we'll scalp her head because that sounds cool. But, I haven't thought much of that. But then we'll blow up the home and release the large python to eat her daughter. Are you in? And the guy's like, I'm already on my way.
I'm picking up the python now.
Yeah.
How elaborate is that? So you go, oh, yeah, this is just guys being dumb. I mean, uber dumb. But, no, they blew up the house.
Yeah, so they use Tannerite. Now, Tannerite, from what I understand, from my giant pumpkin-growing world, every man and his dog can buy Tannerite.
Yep.
And and they strap it to a pumpkin, and then you just shoot at it with a bullet, and then it just explodes.
Like Tannerite is made specifically to be hit by a bullet to explode in target shooting. That's all it does.
Yeah, wow. I know. It's crazy. So anyway, they did blow up the woman's house, and then a witness saw the black SUV leaving. And then they found evidence of the explosives and his journal. Dear journal, the python is hungry.
I'm thinking scalping. Maybe python for the daughter. She's too fat to get eaten by a python, but her daughter's not. I don't know. Like, it's just crazy. It's crazy.
So imagine the logistics of releasing a python and going, why is it going away from the house? No. In the house. Like, and the girl's going to stay, like, it's so dumb.
I can just see them holding the python's head in a vice and then showing pictures of the daughter in front of it on a slideshow going, eat that, eat that. It's just mental. I've got another one that I think is quite amusing. This one here. So Durham in not in Ireland. It's another American one. Ontario. Okay. Canadian, actually. Sorry. Canadian,
so yep.
What's worse than driving your police car after work, popping into a bar, drinking too much, and then crashing the car on the way home drunk.
I'm guessing you crash it and your workmates turn up.
No, what's worse than that is then you go, oh, you run away and you go, the cop car was stolen while I was in the bar and somebody else crashed it.
Oh, that old story.
And then they found, no, it was you. So you're just making it worse, dude. So he's been handed a 2-year demotion. I'm surprised he wasn't sacked after he
They're hard to come by, these top quality cops in America.
Yeah, yeah. After he admitted to crashing his car on the way home from the bar before reporting it as stolen in an attempt to evade criminal and civil liability. I don't think there's anything else to say about that. It was just like, dude, there is a bad decision made. There is another bad decision made. And then it went downhill from there with your decision making.
Yeah, it's not good.
Oh, it cracks me up. It's great to laugh at other people doing stupid things.
That's true. Oh, you got the story here about the guy that tried to assassinate Ronald Reagan?
Oh, yeah. So I wanted to ask what you thought about it because, okay, hang on. 1981. Do you remember Ronald Reagan's attempted assassination on Ronald Reagan?
I wasn't even born then.
Oh, okay. I was in college. I remember it quite vividly. We just got played over and over on the news.
I bet.
It was the biggest news story, you know, back when there were two channels. And so, yeah. So anyway, this dude, John Hinckley, he got found not guilty by reason of insanity. And incidentally, and I don't know if you recall this, he was hot for Jodie Foster.
That's right. He was all over. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he was stalking her. And I think the whole thing is he said, I'll kill the president for you. And
it makes sense when you think about it.
Yeah, and he literally was nuts. Anyway, so he went to prison for donkey's years. I can't remember how long. He was 25 at the time anyway. In 1981.
He got found not guilty by reason of insanity. He got released in 2022.
Yeah. So he went to a mental institution, got released in 2022. In that time, he got into music. He started playing guitar and writing songs. And I remember reading something about it, you know, 10 years ago or something, or 5 years ago, about, you know, he's thinking of having a career. Anyway, so he's now playing concerts. He's now out and he's playing concerts.
Mm.
And a lot of his concerts, he's scheduled it and then the venue have cancelled him.
Oh, yeah. It'll be because somebody will go, actually, you know who that is? Like, we shouldn't have him.
He shot the president. And so, anyway, he's got one in Connecticut, I think it is.
Yeah.
And it's. Like he's only charging $20 a head for the concert tickets, which is fair enough because it's folk music. I mean, you can't really charge much more than that, I don't think, for a guy with an acoustic guitar. But what are your thoughts about this?
Oh, he's well within his rights to do it. I don't know if it's the best thing he should be doing, and I don't know if anyone will go and check it out. But then you've got like Bill Cosby going around, isn't he doing stand up now? So
stand up, have a drink, and lie down. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
So yeah, no, I think the Hinckley thing. I think go for it. Good on him. I don't see him as trying to profit from the mistakes of his past. Like he's not.
Oh no. I think it's completely separate.
Yeah,
it's
exactly. Just- and so I mean, I think you have to believe in redemption for people. You know, otherwise, why put them in prison? Just fucking kill them all. Like, you know, if people can't be redeemed, then, you know, So I think you've got to give them the benefit of the doubt with the redemption thing. And, you know, folk music, I mean, it's not necessarily to my taste, but good on them. Give it a go.
That's right. That brings us to the end of the podcast, Chris.
Yes.
I don't know what I'm doing for the next week. But I will be here next weekend with another podcast.
Well, I've going to be going to a workshop with Guy Pigden on Saturday. So that'll be cool. So,
We will
give an update on that.
Yeah, we will. I'm thinking, I don't even know what day it is today, but okay, Thursday. No, very good. Okay, until next time, I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
See ya.
Bye.
Hope you enjoy the show. Make sure to subscribe and we'll catch you next week. Don't forget to tell your friends.